Hey, babe, you're gonna be a dad.
And you're gonna be a mom.
What?
Hi, guys, I'm Angela Lanter.
And I'm Matt Lanter.
So my husband, Matt, you might recognize him from your TV screen. He's an actor.
Yeah, and my smoking hot wife sitting next to me, you might recognize her off your computer screen. She's a blogger.
Come along and experience this journey with us as we prepare to have our first kid. Hopefully y'all can learn with us.
Laugh with us.
Or maybe reminisce about your own pregnancy. Either way, sit back, relax, and join us on Hello Bump. This week we're going to attack weeks 7 through 8. We've had a busy couple of weeks.
Yep, we've taken a little time off.
A little time off because we had guests. So it didn't really make sense for us to record while we had house guests. So we thought we'd just lump in the last 2 weeks together. It's been an eventful couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Let's chat.
All right, so we had your mom and your stepdad out for about 7 days.
Yep.
This trip was planned way in advance of us finding out that we were pregnant. Personally, I think that had that been planned while knowing that we were going to be pregnant, we would have kind of pushed that because I was not the most gracious hostess, would you say, while your family was here?
Well, you weren't like normal. You were low energy and
I was knocked up.
You're knocked up.
I was knocked up. To date, I would say that pregnancy has not been fun for me. I haven't experienced the wonderful things that everybody in... I just feel like when you talk to women about pregnancy, they're like, oh, my pregnancy is full of rainbows and unicorns and butterflies, and it's just so wonderful, and I feel wonderful. I haven't had that. I haven't had that experience at all.
But I feel like we've been YouTubing stuff, and I feel like... tons of other. We literally just watched one where some woman said, I want to shoot myself in the face. And I feel like that's how you've been feeling a little bit. So I don't think you're alone.
I don't think that I'm alone, but I don't think that women, when you talk to them on a personal basis, are 100% honest with you and what their experience truly is. Either that or I'm in the, is it the minority? Is that what I say there?
Well, that's why we're doing this thing.
Yeah. So that I can be just totally honest with you guys.
It's real. So, yeah, let's talk about some of these things that you have been feeling.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the having the house guests when you're very newly pregnant. I feel like I wouldn't suggest that to anybody because the reason I would say that is because you can't be a hostess and entertain and cook or be around food or do all of the things that you normally would do as a gracious hostess, wouldn't you? Have to agree with that.
Yeah, it's just because your energy's
because you have no energy. You feel
and you don't
sick.
Want like certain smells. I mean, I guess we'll get into all this stuff.
Yeah. So if you guys can avoid that, if you are newly pregnant, then I would say please try to because
don't plan visits and don't plan to visit
somebody either.
Like, but wait. All that being said, though, before we even get into it, like all in all, it was pretty good. It was fine.
It wasn't that it was bad. It's that I felt bad because I couldn't be the hostess that I normally am.
No, I think if you asked my mom and Val, they would have said it's fine. And I'm sure that they would.
But for me personally, it made me feel very bad. It made me feel bad because they had certain things that they wanted to do. And I was scared to be in the car for long periods of time or they wanted to go to see Jersey Boys. And I was just the thought of sitting in a theater for 3 hours and possibly being sick just felt very miserable to me. And quite honestly, I'm glad that we sat that one out. And they went and they had a great time. But for me, it felt like a lot of pressure to be a host and I just couldn't live up to that. And I was putting the pressure on myself, first of all.
Yeah, you were. Because before they even came out, I think we probably talked about it in the last one. I was like, chill, it's fine. You don't have to worry about being a host. Like everyone knows you're pregnant. You don't have the energy to do it. And the visit itself was fine.
It was fine. Good. I was putting pressure on myself and I felt bad.
They had a great time.
I felt like a loser. Like, I'm like, hey guys, I got to peace out and take a nap. So,
yeah. Sorry. But fortunately, they were cool with just hanging around the house and doing the pool day and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of nice too.
Yeah. It's just me putting that on myself. The one cool thing about them being here is that we had our 8 week appointment when they were here and your mom got to go. She got to see the ultrasound with us and hear the heartbeat.
The very first ultrasound, the very first time that we got to hear the heartbeat.
Well, we had an ultrasound before, but we didn't get to see anything. At 6 weeks, we did the ultrasound and we got to see the sac, But there was no fetal pole in it at that point or anything like that.
There was no heartbeat or anything
like that. No heartbeat. We couldn't see anything. So this was the first ultrasound we actually got to see something.
We weren't even sure if we were going to hear the heartbeat. I mean, the doctor actually kind of acted like we might not. It's still pretty early.
Because I was measuring 6 weeks or 6 days earlier than what I was supposed to be at that appointment.
But we were hoping to. And so we had my mom come down to the office. And me and Angela talked about this. We were like, And really, it's probably me more than her. I kind of wanted to make sure that we had our own moment of seeing the baby, hearing the heartbeat before, you know, my mom or anyone else for that matter that was be in town or, you know, could come in and hear it. I wanted to kind of have that moment between the two of us.
So, which I felt that. I found that very sweet.
Yeah.
You're very hands-on, and I appreciate that. Clearly, because that's how I got pregnant.
Yeah. Real hands-on. You know what I'm saying? So we had her actually wait outside and then...
Was that inappropriate for me to make that joke while you're talking about your mom?
No, it's fine. I feel like when you're pregnant, we're talking bodily functions, which we're going to be doing here. All bets are off.
And don't mind that. My stomach just growled so loud that I feel like the microphone had to have picked that up.
I didn't hear it.
So loud.
We'll get to it. So we kept my mom outside in the lobby. Well, we had our little moment, and of course, we had the moment. We heard the heartbeat, and
it was very special.
It was awesome. It was a strong, fast heartbeat, and when they're like the fetus, the heartbeat's really, really strong. They're like, you know, 150, 160, 170. For those of you who aren't really familiar off the top of your head with that, that's like if you are running as hard as you can as an adult, and your heart feels like it's pounding out of your chest. That's just their like resting heart rate when they're so tiny.
Because it's working so hard. It's working so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doubling in size every week, basically.
Yeah, that is absolutely nuts if you really think about it. So anyway, we had the moment and you know what? What we should do is play it.
Yeah, play the heartbeat.
Yeah. So let me find it in my phone here. But it was a really special moment. And you know, the funny thing is that we're constantly kind of having to like tell our doctor or like ask our doctor again is these guys do this so many times a day.
Also, he's not an ultrasound tech.
Well, I guess at the risk of making them sound like not emotional, it's not special to them. They do it all the time with so many people. So like this, the second time we heard this thing, we actually like, he was done. He was right. We were like, wait, we want to hear the heartbeat. Cause he didn't even turn the sound portion on. Okay, so I got to go find. All right, so I haven't looked at this thing in a week or two, a couple of weeks. So I don't know. I think there's some different sounds, some different people speaking, but let's see if we can hear it. Ready? He's looking for it.
Of course. Hang on, let me go back to it again.
He's about to go back to it. Come on, searching and searching. Here we go.
Perfect.
So there we go. You guys heard it first. That's our baby's first heartbeat.
Yep. You walk around making that sound all the time.
So that was very sweet. It was beautiful. Did you tear up?
I did, sure.
I teared up a little bit.
It just felt like a relief.
It was. More than anything, more than like a sweetness, more than anything, for me, it was definitely more of that, more relief. You know, we've read a lot of things and we've heard from friends and sites and articles that sometimes you don't ever hear the heartbeat. And
yeah.
Then, you know, there's unfortunately miscarriage a lot of times. And we're still in that danger zone, like all people and early on. So to hear the heartbeat, to hear it so strong is a huge, huge positive sign and that things are going good, you know? So it's like the several weeks of wondering, like, can we cook a baby properly? So far, so good.
Right. Also, statistically, once you hear the heartbeat, your chances of miscarriage go down. At least that's what I've read. And it just makes you feel better. I mean, and maybe that's false hope. I don't really know. But for whatever reason, it feels like just an extra layer of just reassurance.
Yeah.
The heartbeat for me, it was just this ginormous moment of... I can just breathe relief.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I'm part of so many of these apps for pregnancy, you know, the bump, baby bump, Ovia, what to expect, baby center. I'm on all of those.
Which one do you like the best?
I really like the baby bump app, which I believe is, it's by Honest Company,
which is Jessica Alba's company.
Yeah. And so they have it within this app, and a couple of the other apps have this too, but for whatever reason, this one seems to be the most active. I'm a part of a group. It's the month that I'm due, and it has all of the girls within my month that are due. We're all in there together, and we just post constantly and talk. And my screen name isn't even like a legit name because we haven't announced that we're pregnant. So like, I don't want my real identity on there just in like some crazy, you know, off chance reason. I just wanted to be careful. But in this particular group, we've got 1,332 girls who are all due in my birth month. And it's really cool because we're all going through this together. Every single symptom that's happening, you know, they can, we just pop in there and say it. But the downfall to that is that every time somebody loses a baby, they're,
it gets you scared.
They post it and they post their symptoms, and it just, you're just hypersensitive to every single thing that your body's going through because one person says, you know, that they had this symptom, and it's a very common symptom, whatever it is, just whatever it may be. And it's a very common symptom that may have nothing at all to do with miscarriage. Like one I read was bowel issues, diarrhea. I read that that was one woman had it before she ended up having an ectopic pregnancy. And I've had all kinds of bowel issues, unfortunately. And so what triggers in my head is, oh my gosh, am I having an ectopic pregnancy? What the crap? Like, it's just like pure panic.
You can drive yourself crazy.
You absolutely drive yourself crazy. But then you also get this extra layer of like sisterhood through it, because these girls are going through what you're going through and you're helping each other out, and you know, you get responses fast and like all of these things. So there's a good and there's a bad to it. So that's why going into that appointment, it was like, please let us hear a heartbeat. Please let us hear a heartbeat. That's like all I wanted from it. And when I got that, I definitely,
relief.
I cried.
Yeah.
I was just so happy to have that.
Yeah.
Part of that particular appointment was my morning sickness. My nausea really had come to a head while your parents were in town. One day in particular, it was really bad. Do you remember?
Now, would you say that nausea or just being fatigue or both of those together, those are your two main symptoms, right?
Yeah.
And some gas.
Well, gas is just...
We can get to that.
It's bad. Okay. But that goes along with the digestive system. Right. With
everything's off.
The nausea and... Praise the Lord, I have not vomited. And maybe if I didn't have such a fear of vomiting.
Let's share with the world how scared you are of
vomiting. Overwhelming fear of vomit.
It's not that bad.
It doesn't matter. Like in my head, it's like next to dying. It's so bad. Like
have we talked about this? Angela gags easy. Like when I take her to like some different parts of Hollywood, you know, where there's like some like...
Homeless pee. Homeless pee gets
me. She can't dry heave. Hold it down.
I dry heave. Wheatgrass shots, they make me dry heave.
Well, Angela's so weird that when she was like a toddler, her mom put her in the grass outside to play, and the grass in between her toes made her gag.
Sometimes cleaning out my own hairbrush makes me gag. I mean, I just have a bad gag reflex.
How are you going to have a baby?
Poop doesn't bother me, though.
It's so just messed up.
It's just puke. I don't know.
Well, good luck with that, because this kid's going to be puking all over you.
You're going to be on puke duty. I'll do the poop. You do the puke. It's just, that's what your sister and brother-in-law do.
You do the poop. I do the puke.
Yeah, see? But I think that if I was a normal person who didn't have a fear of puking and who didn't, like, mentally talk myself off of that ledge, I probably would have been puking throughout this. But I feel like I control it with my mind.
Really? You're like a Jedi. You're like a puke Jedi.
No, this is a real thing.
Okay.
No, this is a real thing. I've read about it. There are people out there who haven't vomited in like over 30 years because they mentally...
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all mental anyway. It
is. Well, your nausea is controlled by your mind. Like there's a particular part of your brain that controls your nausea. I would rather suffer from nausea 24 hours a day than vomit once, which sounds really stupid to most people.
Yeah.
I know. I think that maybe if I would just vomit, maybe I would feel better instead of being sick all day, every day. But I am. I'm sick all day, every day. So at this appointment, which was supposed to be our 8-week appointment when we went with your mom, they measured us at 7 weeks, one day. They measured us 6 days behind. He said that I probably ovulated late, and I told him my nausea. He gave us samples in office for Diclegis, which is anti-nausea medication, which is all it is B6, Unisom, and Benadryl put together.
So yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So he gave that to me. Our appointment was on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I didn't take it for the first couple of days after I got it because for whatever reason, I seemed to be okay. But after your mom and dad and stepdad left on Saturday, I think that Saturday night I took it for the first time. Sunday, I had heart palpitations.
Down for the count.
Yeah, I had heart palpitations. Ding, 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 ding. And
no, what you were having heart palpitations, but you were like, seriously, like she was dead to the world. We had our housekeeper here and she was cleaning our house.
That's a different day. That was a different day.
Well, this is all within the first several days of being on Diclegis.
Well, so no, because what happened was I took it first, had heart palpitations, had like the tightness of chest, freaked me the crap out because I thought it was just Unisom and B6. And I'm like, okay, Unisom, maybe it'll make you feel like heavy chested. So that was on a Sunday. Monday, I called the doctor and I said, listen, I'm having these symptoms. And he's like, you should not be having those symptoms. He's like, all it is Unisom B6 Benadryl. I'm like, ding, 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 Benadryl. I have a weird reaction to Benadryl. It gives me restless legs, all this stuff. He's like, listen.
But also keep in mind, you brought up to me though, that sometimes it's a little bit hard for you to discern what was tight chest and what was so, because I know that feeling.
That heaviness.
That so relaxed in a way that you feel heavy.
Right.
Which I've gotten that too when I take certain medications. And it actually can be sort of scary. Because it almost feels like
I think it's scary because my heart's pounding in my ears at that moment.
Yeah.
So called the doctor, said this. He goes, listen, I don't want you on Phenergan. I don't want you on Zofran.
You said Phenergan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Phenergan. Okay. Because you're used to taking
Phenergan. Yeah, I've taken Phenergan a lot of times. Phenergan
is just what for people?
Anti-nausea, which they were giving that out a couple of years ago for pregnancy.
Okay.
But then there's been some studies that say we shouldn't be doing this. Same thing with Zofran. They've taken that off, not off the market, but my doctor just said, I'm not comfortable giving that to you. He's like, listen, try it one more time. And if you have the same reaction, go to B6. I said, okay, fine. It took me, I think, like 3 more days of like battling through the nausea till finally I was like, okay, I'm going to try it one more time. Mm-hmm. I tried it one more time. And the next day,
that's when you're down for the count.
I was down for the count.
It was weird. Like, bad. It helped her. She wasn't nauseous, but she was literally
dead to the world.
Dead to the world. We had I was starting to say, we had our housekeeper out. She was cleaning. Angela and I were in my office. We shut the French doors and she literally just fell asleep on the dog bed on the floor.
I fell asleep in the dog bed. I mean, who does that?
Yeah.
It was bad.
So you were so tired.
And
you only took what, half a dose?
I've this whole time only taken half a dose, one pill at night.
You're small. How much do you weigh so people know?
Like 110.
Okay.
But like on the bottle, it's 2 pills at night. And then if that doesn't relieve the nausea, then it's 2 more pills during the day.
Oh,
technically,
wow.
You can be taking 4 a day. I'm just taking 1. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was totally out of it.
Yeah.
It was bad. And like,
all day. All day you were like sleeping and
it was like I couldn't even communicate with you. And I had work to do and I couldn't even like stand to look at my computer screen. I made you answer emails for the first time ever from my computer because I just was like, I can't do this. I physically cannot do this. I powered through it. Took it again that night. The next day.
It was the same thing the next day, wasn't it?
No, the next day we went and got Italian. I actually had Italian food. And you were driving in the car and you look over at me and you said, do you remember?
Like, hey, how's it going? It's nice to have you back.
No, how does it feel to be alive?
How's it feel to be alive?
And I looked at him like, what do you mean? And you go, you've literally been dead to the world for the last several days.
But you're saying it was only one day. But I feel like it was 2 or 3 days where you were gone.
I think I was down all day, but then the evening I got like my second wind and I wanted food. Like I wanted actual adult normal food. Because up to that point, I was eating bread.
Yeah, nothing.
Bread.
So basically you were down for the count for 2 days, but by the second evening you started to come around and actually want some food, which was you wanting food at that point was a huge success. Because you had not wanted anything.
No, because I was down like 7 or 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And you tattled on me to the doctor. Do you remember? You're like, she's eating like crap.
Because the only thing that you wanted was crap, bread, and frickin' crueler donuts or like powdered donuts. And you told me, don't come home unless you have donuts with you.
Mm-hmm. Like those little mini ones.
From the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real loving.
It's really... You don't understand. Like I physically feel like I'm trapped inside of a body who has been suffering from the flu for the last 10 weeks, 9 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever I was at that time. And it is so overwhelming that you can only eat something that gets in your head that sounds good to you in that moment, and it's a carb. That's it. Literally. Yeah. Mac and cheese.
Well, I mean, usually that's how it goes when you're like, you're sick.
You and just that's what like you carbs. Are. You're just sick.
Right.
And so you tattled on me to the doctor, and the doctor was like, let her eat what she wants to eat.
I have a concern that not only are you not eating healthy to keep your body enough nutrients in your body, because also with all that sickness that we told the doctor said, get off your prenatal vitamins, mm-hmm. which I think we had already talked about. Yeah. Maybe.
So I'm on folic acid,
You're on folic acid, but you're not on prenatal vitamins anymore. So it's very important that you get nutrients from the food that you're eating. And if you're not eating food.
But what did the doctor say about the baby?
He said that the baby could be fed for an entire month on one Cheerio. Mm-hmm. So that it's really not about what Angela is eating, that the baby is being fed from her body, which was being fed from the food that she ate, you know, a month ago.
Yeah.
So it was, he was like, just whatever, you know, makes her feel good. So that's fine. But still, I mean, I do have concern that like you need to eat fairly healthy. And I think it's good. You've not been getting any exercise at all.
No.
And you know, this is not good for you. It's not good for the baby and everything. But
I just physically have no energy.
Yeah.
And the bad thing that we repeatedly discover is that when I do try to eat healthy, I get payback for it.
You mean I get payback for it?
I mean, we went out and had a salad with our friends. I was craving a salad, so I got myself a taco salad. Thought that, oh my gosh, that sounds so good. The next day, it was coming out me. It's just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, if I eat a fruit, piece of fruit or a vegetable in any capacity, except for potatoes, those are the only things that stick with me. It's coming right out me. And I did have IBS years ago, but I've not had problems like this in years.
And it's also creating a lot of gas and like gas pains.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
You know,
the gas.
Yeah, machine gun Ange.
That's what he calls me. Let me just be honest here. Before I got pregnant, I did not fart in front of my husband.
No, never.
Never. And if I did, it was a pure accident. Like never would I have done it on purpose. Now, I know that I have two choices. I can either just let it rip, or I can get up and leave the room and it happen while I'm walking away. So either way, it's going to happen in front of him. It doesn't matter. If I try to hold it in, I'm going to be in horrible pain because it's like you can hear my stomach rolling around. Like you can actually physically hear my stomach rolling around.
Yeah.
And today I ate maybe two slices of an apple. You're paying for it tonight, aren't you?
Machine Gun Ange is in full force this evening, folks.
I've been lighting it up.
So, yeah, all right. Well, yeah.
You know what, though? Nobody is honest about this crap.
Nobody's honest about
the fact that you feel like a stuffed sausage full of air that you just have to fart out. Like, that is all there is to it.
Should we censor that word? Should we say toot?
I'm going to say toot, whatever. Fart, toot.
Poot.
Poot. Pass gas.
Show of hands, what do you guys say? Leave a comment.
Man, I'm just like going balls to the wall here.
Oh, man.
Another symptom.
Yeah.
Not symptom. Another thing that has become a part of our lives is my nap. I have to get a nap.
You're a little bit of a napper anyway.
I was a napper, but not every day.
Let's not try to pretend that you don't nap.
Today, I took a very long nap.
You do. You're even more so, but you've always been a napper, but you very much want to take your nap.
I like my siestas.
Yeah,
I come by them natural. My mom all took them. I took them with her.
Yeah, around 2, 3, 4 o'clock, you're kind of down.
I even take them late sometimes.
You're kind of down and out.
And if I don't get my nap, like, it's not good. And let me just say.
3 to 5, you're out.
And if somebody wakes me up during my nap, I'm not very nice to you, am I?
No, you're not. And what I don't understand is that Angela always feels like she needs to nap on the freaking living room couch where everything that goes on in the house goes on around the family room, the kitchen, the front door area. I'm constantly saying, please get up and go to the master. There's a spider on a wall up there.
Yeah, that's a gross one.
Yeah, I'll have to go get that in a second. I'll keep an eye on it. I'm coming for you, you little biscuit.
Shout out to Cece.
She always wants to take a nap on the freaking couch.
It's because our couch is so soft. We've got the cloud from restoration.
Yeah, it's super soft.
It's the best.
Yeah, but she needs to go to the master bedroom and cover up and put her eye mask on and like get in the bed and like snuggle and go to sleep. And that way I don't bother her.
But I don't like to do that.
No, she chooses to go down, sleep on the couch, and then yell at me when I make a peep.
Well, because you walk around like a caveman.
That's not true.
It is true. You stomp.
That's not true at all. You got
clod hoppers.
And then I was trying to play video games, and like sound goes through my headphones, but I accidentally unplugged it.
I mean,
and
it was bad. It was like blaring. It makes me sit straight up and punch you in your face.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you were upstairs, it wouldn't have happened. Okay. Listen, keep the guests entertained. I'm going to go get this spider.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So more about the symptoms. Let's see. Heartburn. I've always associated, based on my friends who've been pregnant, is with third trimester. Not me. I had heartburn before I even found out that I was pregnant. I mean, like, it is... You're making a lot of noise back there.
Oh, man. Where'd it go? Oh, gosh.
He lost the freaking spider.
I lost it.
That was a massive spider.
No, seriously. It's gone. Okay. Well, let's hope it doesn't...
jump out and bite us?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm talking about heartburn. I got heartburn before I even found out that I was pregnant. I mean, that was like one of the very first symptoms that I got.
Yep.
My chiropractor gave me...
Gaviscon and Zantac have been your best friends.
Yeah, I can take those two things. The doctor approved those things. The chiropractor suggested that after I eat, first of all, make sure I don't eat in the car. But after I eat, sit up straight.
Because of your posture.
Yes. Sit up straight for at least 10 minutes before I go and sit into more of a comfortable position.
And how good have you been doing with that advice?
I think I've been okay.
I would say not very.
Oh, I thought I did pretty good.
No.
Okay. No Coke at night, he also said. Yeah. I broke that tonight. Yep. But I usually... save that for the morning or the afternoon.
You've also been drinking ginger beer a lot. I love ginger beer. Ginger beer is one of my weaknesses. I love ginger beer. I love Moscow Mules. And so she's been drinking a little bit of ginger beer. I love Bundaberg ginger beer.
It's just, it does settle my stomach because it makes you burp.
Well, yeah, well, soda, but also ginger is like a known stomach calmer.
The weird thing also I'd like to say is that before I got pregnant, I loved water. I drink more water than anybody that I've ever met. I
drink a lot.
I drink a minimum, probably 4 to 5 bottles a day. Now that I'm pregnant, I hate the taste of water. Like, I have to force myself to drink it. And still, I'm only getting like 2 bottles a day, which is like, it's not good. I know that it's not good. And the doctor keeps on me. He's like, that's the one thing you want to do is stay super hydrated. I've been very bad about that. Another thing I want to say is that before I got on Diclegis, I was going through this weird cycle of hunger nausea, is what I like to call it, where... I was unable to decipher if I was hungry or if I was nauseous. And it was 24 hours a day, to the point that one night I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I thought I was hungry, but I also thought I was nauseous. So I went downstairs, got some pretzels or saltines. I'm up in bed after 3 a.m. It was pretzel chips. Yeah. Okay. In bed, 3 a.m., eating pretzel chips, just trying to calm my stomach, because at that point I didn't have anything to take. Next thing I know, I've got Matt's hand in my face asking for one.
It's like dark in our room. I heard her up eating pretzel chips and I was like, I want some of these pretzel chips. So it's like 3 a.m. That's kind of one of our funnier moments to me, in my opinion. We're both up at 3 a.m. in the dark eating pretzels. And I was like, this is kind of fun. It's like
this is a fun memory. I'm like, really? Because like, I don't think it's fun at all.
Yeah, it's like a sleepover where like we do like, you know, like weird things.
Something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
And there's me who's like, this isn't fun at all. Yeah. I'm doing this so that I don't puke. I was not amused.
But back to that Diclegis though. So you took it for a few days. You were down. But then it's almost like your body started getting used to it.
I totally leveled out.
Yeah. You leveled out and now it's working really good for you.
At this point it really is.
Yeah.
I don't feel that I've had any real cravings.
No crazy cravings. No like pickle juice.
In my group that I'm in on the apps, like all these girls are talking about their cravings. I saw one girl tonight talking about roast beef and I'm just like, there is nothing that I'm like, I need to have that right now.
I mean, there's plenty of things where you're like, oh, I want this. Like the other night, you're like, I want some red velvet cake. I'm going to make some. But that's not like an odd craving for you. You like red velvet cake.
Yeah.
I think you haven't had any crazy cravings. You've just had stuff that like in general you like. That you really, really want.
Like my s'mores Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, like
you
really
want it. I haven't had those since high school and I just wanted those.
You really wanted them. But it's not like, oh my God, you go to the store now and get this stuff.
Yeah, no.
You know what? I actually sometimes wonder, and I mean, who am I to really say? But I wonder if some of these girls, like, because the craving thing is sort of like, never mind. I'm not even going to say this because people that are listening are going to like blast me for it.
I was going to say, you're walking on tender ground.
I know. But I just sometimes feel like, do you think people like sort of stretch it out?
Like, I don't know, to look like at say my best friend Megan drinking the pickle juice from the jars. Like, she was craving pickle juice.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like people sometimes might just say like the wackiest thing they can say because it's kind of like novelty to say it.
I think that I would
pickle juice.
Agree that with that if I didn't know Meg.
Yeah.
But she legitimately was opening up jars and drinking the juice.
You just hear the weirdest stuff. Like people saying like a pickle juice ice cream float and like,
ew.
Right? But people are saying like the wackiest stuff like that. And I just sometimes wonder if it's true. But hey, whatever. I don't know.
I guess we're about to find out. So.
I guess we are. You might. You know,
my mom didn't have any weird cravings with me except for tacos.
And you have been a fan of tacos. We have got a taco stand kind of near us and tastes sort of like Taco Bell, but it's like a little bit healthier, maybe. And Angela's,
it's just real ingredients.
Yeah, and real ingredients. And Angela's wanted that a few times, but she's not craved it. But like tonight, we walked up there and
I had to have it 2 days in a row once.
Yeah.
But that was it.
But nothing like, oh, you've not been some like craving monster where.
There's not been anything that I'm like, I can only have this meal. There has been when I was really, really nauseous that there were only certain things that I could physically stomach.
Handle, yeah. But that's kind of different.
Yeah.
That's like when you're sick, like chicken noodle soup is about the most you can do.
Which I did that one night. I needed Campbell's chicken noodle soup because it was the only thing that I felt like I could keep down.
You did tell me that you feel like some of your. And again, we can't really call them cravings, but some of the things you've been wanting or like desiring or saying like, oh, that kind of sounds good is stuff that you said that you used to eat when you were younger.
Yeah.
Like SpaghettiOs and the Crueler Donuts and
S'mores Pop-Tarts.
Eggo
Waffles.
We don't typically keep stuff like that.
We don't eat any of those things. No. I literally haven't had any of those things since I've lived in California.
And I'm, by the way, we'll get into all this later, but I'm like very concerned that I'm going to do this husband 15 pounds things.
It's 25 pounds.
Oh God, don't tell me that. Like I'm going to gain all this weight, like sympathy weight or just eat what she is constantly
eating.
But
the bad thing is that you are having sympathy symptoms for me.
I don't think so.
You totally are.
No.
Yes, you are. Like I will have like something like a stomach pain or nausea or whatever. And you're like, you know what? My stomach doesn't feel so good either. Yes, you are.
No, you.
You call my mom up and ask.
That's
her
got nothing to do with pregnancy. We laugh about that all the time because you constantly say that.
It's before true. You always like. I have a sore throat. You're like, you know what? My throat hurts too.
You say that I steal your. I steal your attention. And
you
it's
want
like,
my thunder.
You pitch a fit, and you're like, no, it's my time to be sick. But you know what? That happens all the time. Like you'll say you have a headache, and I'm like, yeah. You know what? I actually do have a headache too. That's not a pregnant thing. That's happened all the time.
So at the 6 week appointment, we had our blood taken to do the Counsyl genetic test before we went in for the 8 week appointment that your mom went in with us to. We found out that I had 3 mutations in my genes, one of which.
So, okay. So like, what is it called? A Counsyl panel
called
or something?
It's the Counsyl panel, Counsyl, Counsyl.
Did they draw 6 vials of blood for this?
They tested various things.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. But.
Is this something that everybody does? Because we've talked to a few people and we've told a few people about this now, and they didn't, like my mom had no idea.
It might be a California thing, or
a new thing. I don't know.
I'm not sure, but I mean, it wasn't even a question of do you want to do this? You are going to do this.
Yeah.
And so we did. My mutations were a biotin deficiency.
And so they test your blood.
Yes.
For genetic mutations.
It looked like what, maybe 100 different.
Yeah. And then they also test the husband because then.
They don't test the husband unless the wife has mutations.
Oh.
The wife comes back with 0 mutations, then they're clear.
But if your wife is an X-Man like mine,
yes.
Then the husband gets tested too. And so what happens is they test and if you guys both match for certain genetic mutations, then there's like a 50-50 chance you could pass it to your kid. And if it's something that can be solved or handled or treated prior to them being born, they will do that, blah, 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 blah. So Angela had to get this thing done. It came back.
Yes.
I have three
mutations.
Yeah.
One is a biotin deficiency, which I was not at all surprised about. I've been on biotin for as long as I can remember because in high school I lost my eyelashes when my grandmother was sick. When I was a senior in high school, she passed away from a brain tumor, and I took off half my senior year to help care for her. And one eye, I just completely lost my eyelashes.
But do you think that had to do with stress then too?
My doctor said that it did, but then they wouldn't grow back, and so I had to go on a high dose of biotin for them to come back, and then they did. But I've just always known that about myself, that I needed to be on biotin. Another one that I had is a deficiency that this one I actually tested positive for, that I wasn't just a carrier for, but I actually had.
So when they test you, you can either be a carrier of that gene or you can actually have that condition.
Right.
So the biotin, you actually have that condition.
It said I was a carrier, but I've always known that I have a biotin deficiency. Hmm. So it was like, it was kind of weird because it didn't say that I had it, mm-hmm. but I've always known that I needed to take extra biotin.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't getting it enough from my food.
Gotcha.
So the next one was one that I actually have. And all it is a condition where you have a hard time waking up from anesthesia. I've had multiple surgeries and I've never had a hard time waking up from surgery.
And I actually have.
You do. So this would make 100% sense if you had it. Like if you would tell me, hey, your husband has this condition, he has a hard time waking up, I would 1000% believe it because he had shoulder surgery a couple of years ago and he was in recovery for hours because they could not get him to wake up from the anesthesia. That was a bad day. It was Christmas Eve Eve, and it was a
bad day.
And then my third issue was Pender disease, which is loss of hearing. Again, I'm a carrier. I don't have it. I called my mom, and we could not think of a single person on either side of our families who was either deaf or extremely hard of hearing. So it was just really weird. So at this appointment, Matt went in, got his blood tested, and next episode we'll go over his results if we get them back to find out. But there's like a 1 in 10,000 chance that he and I are both going to have the same mutations. And so, you know, cross that bridge when we get there kind of thing. But as of right now, that's all I've got for week 7 and 8.
You know, we're just chugging along here.
Chugging along.
Trying to cook this baby.
Yep.
So, okay, well, I think that'll do it for the third episode. And
we will catch you next week.
Can't wait to meet you, baby. Goodbye.